going out of compliance with the flounder issue two seasons ago has brought a lot of people together that I have never seen together before, rather than the, you know, the warring counties for everybody's mm-hmm. business.
North versus South sometimes.
Now yeah. The Atlantic, Cape May County and Atlantic County Chambers of Commerce just had a joint meeting.
Yeah.
And I don't know that that's ever happened before.
Pretty cool.
So, you know, this is an industry that we need to promote as a group and not with these little cultural states and countries divided against themselves.
That's the only way it's going to be any progress.
Do you see it? Do you see it kind of coming together a little, or is it in my dreams, Bill?
No,
you know, you do too. Good.
It's the only way we're going to make any progress. They got to be together. And the problem in the past has been too many little groups going in their own direction.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the people involved making the decisions, they know that there's a lot of fighting going on. But in the last couple of years, it's kind of solidified a little bit, and we've even had support from North Jersey.
Well, the three of us have reached out to some of those people, and we've had them on here and talked to them. So you know, it's a little maybe we played a little role in that a little bit.
Well, you can take credit. You played
no,
big role.
You're like a
one person multiplier group.
That. Here with Robin Scott and Bill Schillingford. Robin, we had a full moon, high water, or something like that this week. I went around the corner here to Hamilton Avenue to look at the boat ramp, and I couldn't even get close to the boat ramp. The tide was so far up, it was like
full moon.
Yeah, I know. It was like this full moon and blowout. So, what was it like over on the Markey?
Well, I visited a friend who has that plague, that flu, yesterday over the lunch hour, which was high tide. And right off the end of Surrey Avenue in Ventnor, you know how in Ventnor, you know, there aren't any scuppers. The water just comes into the street. And I'm telling you, that street was flooded.
Really?
Yeah, I thought, no, it's going to be a quick visit. I think I better get this little Versa out of here, you know.
Back by the crew, the crew headquarters and that little cove there?
Yeah. Yeah,
it won't be as bad today, but this northwest wind will keep it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. But this wind was coming right out of the southwest or something. I don't know. It was just blowing right.
Almost southeast.
Really. Yeah.
Yeah, we're high behind me, obviously, but I was surprised at, you know, how much water was in the streets there.
Yeah, I can't believe it. You know, I just go and drive by and go to Summers Point or something. I just drive down there and check on, see what's going on. And
I think it was the second strongest full moon of the year this month.
Wow.
You'll move back to the island. You're really an island. You brighten up when you talk about living on the island and driving over the island. You should have never left.
I need to keep putting sandbags in front of my in front of my boars like I used to do with Dorset. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the trees blow over here. You have derechos, you know. Trees crashing.
That did happen too. Yeah, you're right.
You just have to pick your natural disaster that you're least terrified of and move there, right?
Yeah.
We keep pumping sand on the beach and pumping asphalt on our streets, and you know the backwaters are just going to get higher and higher and higher.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But the you know, the Army Corps told me that if you dredge the bays, the water table it'll still flood. You'll still have what we have now. I said, look,
it's so much nonsense. And
oh
so
man,
ridiculous.
They said that you were there. Yeah. They said that in front of a couple hundred people.
I guess I don't believe it.
They got to say that in order to keep getting your tax dollars.
Mm.
I mean, it's ridiculous.
I can't dwell on it. I get too depressed.
Yeah, I get upset.
Yeah, I know.
It's our job to get you upset. You know that. All right, so what other signs you see? Do you see any of the laughing gulls and all that kind of?
Little signs of everything's spring? Back. All the critters are back eating my diamondbacks that I raised in the Head Start program. They woke up and they're walking around, and now I'm going to have to feed them. See, turtles,
they're. What do you feed them?
I use a 43% protein hatchling formula that has a really high growth rate for them because my job as turtle mom. Or the Hatchling Head Start program for diamondbacks, they call me Turtle Mom, is to grow them as fast as I can so that when Funfest comes in Margate, the last weekend in September, that we can take families and kids out to do an official eco lesson and turtle release, which we do every year and have been doing every year for 10, 12 years now.
You tell me there's an actual turtle food that somebody makes?
Where have you been? There's like 30 varieties of turtle food. The problem is, The only thing I've learned that's really significant, I've learned a lot, do not feed any hatchling turtle the very expensive $14, 40-ounce dried krill when they're little, because literally they learn how to turn their little mouths up and sneer at you. They won't eat anything else. Geez. It's like, oh, my goodness. And then you go broke trying to raise them.
Right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I learned that the hard way. They don't like those little floating food sticks. Those things are terrible. They make an algae slick on your pond there. And Zoomed, I will mention a brand, Zoomed hatchling food. Grows them fast. How's that?
Good. My continuing education just got to take another step.
Well, you know, if you ask me about critters, you're going to get a...
learn something here every week.
That's right. Learn something every week. Ospreys, eagles, all stuff.
Yep. They're all back. They're all eating. They all have fish.
Laughing gulls?
Yeah. We have everything out there.
I saw cardinals the other day.
It's noisy.
It's all laughing gulls down at the canal. There were a big flock of them, too, right? But they were just sitting there. They weren't moving yet, but they'll be up here.
Yeah. So they're all signs of spring, is what I'm...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
That's the only point I'm making here.
Need a couple warm days, they'll get moving.
Yeah.
They made it across the bay, now they're...
resting up?
Going to rest up for the rest of the place.
So you see the same size limit we're going to be targeting, the 18-inch breeders?
We're taking females. That's what we're taking.
Well, I was afraid that 40-inch fillet table that's being custom made for the Wildwood thing was going to be the flounder size. I thought you were going to say something like that. I was getting real nervous.
Yeah, we're going to keep taking the females out and watch the population continue to go down. But I'll tell you, the fluke season looks like it's set. I mean, it's going to be set. We'll know a little bit in another week or so. The thing that... maybe drastic is striped bass. There's a strong possibility that next year striped bass are going to take a significant hit. If you depend on striped bass as a major fishery for you, I think we're going to go down. We're going to go down maybe as low as one fish.
Not a total moratorium, though.
Not at this point, but. The New England guys are pushing for a size limit of a minimum 34 inches. But the study is supposed to be completed here this month or early next month, and then they'll make some decisions later on in the year. But for next year, but it looks like it's pretty sure that there's going to be a significant cut in striped bass.
Is this a similar situation to the flounder, Bill, where when we had 15-inch flounder all the way up to 17, the stock was growing, and now we boosted up, we're taking the female breeders. When we had 24-inch striped bass, we had a growing stock, and now that we have moved it up, we're being depleted again? Is there any similarity there?
I think there's a difference in the striped bass situation.
How so?
Obviously, we should be able to take some smaller striped bass, right? They're our best-eating fish, but the problem with the striped bass is the loss of habitat. Our bays are getting choked with sand.
Yep.
Our inshore waters off the surface choked with sand, and these fish aren't going to come in here. They're going to go right on down. They're going to be outside the 3-mile limit.
Well, they can't do that because there's going to be like a forest of wind turbines out there, so they won't go there either. Oh, neither will the flounder. We already know about that. None of them like electromagnetic fields.
There you go.
Yeah, there we go. We won't have any.
You're going to get me wound up.
I always do that about 5 of 8, right?
But
you're all awake now.
It's striped bass are significantly down, and they've been down now 5 years in a row. So we're going to see something happen on striped bass.
Next
year.
We have a Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council meeting in Avalon coming up here. Anybody know about that on April 8th to 11th?
I did get a notice about bluefish on a webinar panel, an advisory panel. They're calling in all advisors. Did you get that notice?
I don't know. No, I didn't get a notice. ASMFC doesn't cover bluefish. Mid-Atlantic covers bluefish.
Yeah, they're including everybody.
Yeah. I just want to say that if anybody, we always talk about participation from the public.
Right, and it's an Avalon.
Fishers, and it's an Avalon.
It's not in Virginia.
It doesn't say anything, but when I was looking, it doesn't say anything about publics making comments at the meeting. So, but the point is, if you send your comments in by March 27th, it gets in the book that they use, and if you don't get it in by then, it gets into supplemental briefings.
What day of the week is that, Mike? April?
I think it's a whole week.
It's 3 days.
Eight to the
typical one, like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
I'm not sure. Wednesday.
Yeah.
I
But you can also participate by webinar. So what my point is, we always talk about getting people to participate in some of this. Well, here's an opportunity for locals to maybe at least get tuned into what's going on in the Mid-Atlantic Fishery Management Council.
Well, and as we also know, and we've seen, is the face-to-face is effective.
Yeah.
You know, emails, even regular letters, they should be used as a backup to showing up.
Okay,
my great uncle Sam in Woodbury with his horse-drawn huckster wagon. My dad, back in 1958, mom bought our place because Uncle Sam said, Ray, people will always fish.